This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report. My good colleagues, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. He's traveling. He's in Africa. And Alejandro Pena Esclusa of the Venezuelan, the Venezuelan government, the opposition. He is a commentator and geostrategic lecturer for the Venezuelan opposition. He's traveling. He's in Europe. Gentlemen, I begin with the threatening and promising news from Venezuela. Right now, the full fleet is gathered that we're told includes a super aircraft carrier and its escorts, including submarines and missile boats. The flotilla that was already in place, including lots of missiles, B-2 bombers, B-52 bombers, F-35 fighter aircraft capable of delivering weapon systems, a Marine Expeditionary Unit, and more, all preparing, practicing, training for an event that is not promising, which is violence in Venezuela. This is a country without natural resources given the years of abuse by the Maduro regime. However, there is a moment here that is possible to stop the logic of what comes next. And I turn to it's a flimsy report, but it's what we have. That President Trump is looking to talk to Maduro. What that means when a president talks to a man who is not a president is that they're interlocutors. Remember, the president of Venezuela is named Gonzalez. He was elected in the summer of 24, unanimously recognized by international groups, OAS, everyone, as the president of Venezuela. But in control of the capital and what we understand military is a man named Maduro. Talking to Maduro will be challenging. So, Alejandro, I come to you. What is it to talk about? Maduro is a brute. He supervised a regime that's guilty of murder and starvation. There's no food security. He's driven up to 9 million of your compatriots out of the country. What do we talk to him about? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Actually, the one who wants to talk is Maduro. Trump informed that Maduro wanted to talk. Why? Because he's afraid. He's surrounded. He knows there's no chance for the Venezuelan army to fight against the powerful army of the United States. The Venezuelan army is destroyed, is demoralized, and they only know, or some of them only know, about drug trafficking and persecuting innocent people, disarmed people. So they know that they cannot face the North American powerful army. So Maduro wants to talk to Trump. The only thing he can talk about is the surrender conditions. It's been there's rumors about Maduro wanting to go maybe to Russia or to Turkey or to somewhere else, even Cuba. And I think that's totally credible, totally realistic, because he knows that if he stays in Venezuela, he will be extracted, or he might even be killed. So it is logical that he wants to talk. I believe the main problem that Maduro has now is his ally, his partner, Diosdado Cabello. He's the minister of security, and he's the head of the operations of the Cartel of the Suns. Maduro is the head, overall head, but the guy who takes care of the details of drug trafficking is Diosdado Cabello. And he has no offer of redemption, of going somewhere else. He has to stay and he has to fight and lose. So Diosdado Cabello is preventing Maduro from achieving a deal, breaking a deal with the United States, because he wants to be in it. And he cannot. So in the next few days, what we're going to see is an internal fight within the Maduro regime, in order to see who will be able to go out before the military operation, and who will stay. The intelligent thing for Maduro would be to leave as soon as possible, because everything is ready for a military intervention in Venezuela, as you said.
Alejandro, my concern is there are men who will fight for the sense of duty, for the sense of Venezuela. And there are also narco-terror gangs that are very well armed and impossible to tell between the population and the gangsters. All of them are capable of disrupting any transition whatsoever permanently. So, to your knowledge, is there a plan now, presuming Maduro leaves, to establish order again and go forward, returning 7 to 9 million people and dealing with the justice matter that will come up? You just indicated the head torturer, but he has lots of allies. Is there a plan in place or some discussion about the day after?
Yes, there are discussions. Maria Corina Machado, the leader of the opposition, has informed that they have a plan for the first 100 hours and from the first 100 days, with many people collaborating inside of Venezuela and also international allies. But the point here, John, is that in order to have a civil war or a serious confrontation inside of Venezuela, you need a certain amount of people. You need a certain percentage of people. And I can tell you that more than 90% of the Venezuelan population is against Maduro, because it is a regime that hasn't done anything right. They hate Maduro. They hate Diosdado Cabello and their allies. So not even the military are willing to give their lives to defend something that is a total failure. I believe that most of what Maduro and Diosdado Cabello say is just psychological warfare. They don't have the force. They don't have the weapons they say they have, and they don't have the military that support them. As soon as the first missile goes in, everybody is going to change sides.
Ernesto, a very good day to you, traveling, reflecting upon the whole region. That was your job as foreign minister. What will a successful or bumpy, we can't predict, transition of power from Maduro's regime to a legitimate regime, what will that mean for the region? It sounds positive, but will it be disruptive to, for example, Colombia and Brazil?
Well, John, good evening. I think this will be maybe disruptive in the good way. It will disrupt the schemes of drug trafficking and the organized crime networks that basically are running South America. So, Venezuela has been the cornerstone and the clearinghouse for all the illegal activities that are so enmeshed into the political structure of the region. So the fall of the Maduro regime would mean the loss of that clearinghouse. The organized crime network would be at a mess. It would become a mess. Will certainly run for cover here and there. Will be exposed in many cases. Political associations will be exposed. So I think this will change the real power in the region. Of course, you have the facade of regimes that work this and way and that way, but real power is more and more concentrated in the hands of organized crime, and this will suffer a severe, very severe blow with the fall of the Maduro regime.
Is Lula da Silva preparing the Brazilian public for the possibilities of a regime change? Is that something he talks about?
Oh, no, he's not been talking about this. I mean, he has, in terms of just expressing that sort of commonplace of, let's avoid the interference in the region. Let's avoid the interference of sovereignty of countries. But what happens is that Donald Trump has kind of neutralized Lula with the hand that he extended to Lula in terms of negotiating tariffs and other matters. And now Lula cannot go too much against any actions by Donald Trump if he wants to get rid of the tariffs that the U.S. imposed on Brazil. So, Lula, here and there, he plans a discourse in defense of Maduro, but it's not credible. And I think he wouldn't lift a finger for Maduro in the current situation. I think he is expecting maybe a miracle that Maduro stays in power and that the whole criminal network is not revealed. But Lula has so many problems, but I think he has time to think about that. He thought the COP30 in northern Brazil would be a success. It's been a failure. I think he's just burying his head in the sand.
Are Brasilia or Bogota possible refuge for Maduro? Would he have to leave the continent? Your opinion?
No, I think he would have to leave. Nowhere in South America I think he can go. Right, maybe right. Cuba, but not Brazil, because though this is, would be a nightmare for Lula.
More good news coming. Alejandro Pina Esclusa and Ernesto Araújo, New World Report. We're headed to Buenos Aires. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.